If you've got burdens you think you can't bear, just look to God, 'cause He's always been there. He can mend your broken heart, He can ease your pain, no matter what your needs, He loves you just the same. God is faithful to those who believe. Turn your problems over to Him, and His miracles you'll see. 'Cause if you pray from your heart, He'll fulfill your every pushes you to the point that you think that nothing else could go wrong. Turn it over to Him, He will bring you through. Trust in Him, you'll not regret that day. God is faithful to those who believe. Turn your problems over to Him, and His miracles you'll see. 'Cause if you pray from your heart, He'll fulfill your God is faithful to those who believe. Turn your problems over to Him, and His miracles you'll see. 'Cause if you pray from your heart, He will fill up your heart. 'Cause if you pray from your heart, He'll fulfill your every need.
Amen. Thank you, Deborah. What a song. I mean, that's what our Father, you can depend on Him for. I tell you, we've got a big week coming up. A lot of things going on. So a lot of prayer we need, a lot of involvement. Bible school, if you notice, walking in the back, walking this way, already a lot of things been happening. The church will be transformed here in a little while, and to just an opportunity for kids to know more about Jesus, amen? And so beginning tomorrow night, each night, you just bring your children, invite and bring. It'll be a great meal for them, great teaching, great worship, and great crafts, a lot of things going on. So be in prayer about Bible school. I hope you can bring your children, your neighbors, and get involved in that. And if you can even stay and help us, even though you hadn't signed up, I promise you there's something that we'll give you to do. So be in prayer about Bible school. And getting an amen from the director over here on that. And next Saturday morning, we'll get out a call later in the week, because we're still working on some of the details. But next Saturday morning, and hopefully as early as we can, we need to build a wheelchair ramp for Richard Howard. That's Chris's friend, received Christ not long ago. We're so excited about that. He's been very weak. pray for Richard. He's not really able to actually get up on his own, even go to the bathroom. He's in the hospital now, needs some more rehab and so forth. But ultimately, getting home, he's going to need that, and that's our desire to accomplish that next Saturday morning. The materials are going to be there, and so we'll get you some details about that later on as the week goes. And then tomorrow night, Kay has worked very hard and coordinated. We've got Kevin Spencer coming. One thing that's very special about Kevin is in this day and age of church and ministry, there's not near as many preachers, evangelists, and music evangelists who will come to your church and sing for Jesus, share the gospel, simply trusting God for a love offering. Some of these folks you'll see on the church sign or you hear about, you'd be amazed at what they need and require to come. And Kevin will be coming next Saturday night to share the gospel. And as I said, Wednesday night, pray, you know, you can get people to come hear music on a Saturday night that won't come on Sunday morning. Amen. So to share the gospel, pray in prayer for him for that night. Be inviting and also be praying about what God would have you to give. And then next Sunday, baby dedication. And if you've not got in touch with us about your baby, let us know. We'll be working on that. We're excited about next Sunday. So a lot going on, a lot of prayer needs. And also Rick Cawthon's mama, they took her to the hospital this weekend. I think she's had a stroke and she's real weak now. So let's just pray for his mom. Let's just pray together. Dear God, we are here today excited, Lord, as the purpose of right now. Lord, we want to lift up your word, lift up the gospel for someone who maybe has never received Christ. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Lord, I pray for all of us, Lord, that we'll walk closer as we leave here than we came in. Dear God, thank you for what you've already done in the Sunday school hour. And just continue to bless our teachers and bless our new format, Lord. And I'm excited, Lord, about the outreach that's already going on. And dear God, I pray for Bible school. I thank you for all the planning, the preparation, all the work that's been done to prepare, to decorate, to prepare for the meals. And Lord, tomorrow night, Lord, it's action time. And Lord, we are hopeless and helpless, and we'll have no strength or energy to do any of this apart from you. So I ask your anointing to be upon all that will be helping for the children. And Lord, be with the ones that are being invited, be with the work schedules to get home and to get here. And Lord, we just give you Bible school. We ask, Lord, for children that they might give their hearts to Jesus, Lord, and you might even raise up preachers and singers and, Lord, evangelists and missionaries, Lord, just even beginning those seeds in this time of Bible school. Lord, I do pray, Lord, for Brother Richard in the hospital, and Lord, just an opportunity to put some Lord, physical action to our prayers, Lord, and I just pray for those men that are coordinating and those men and women that you'll send next Saturday, Lord, and that we might be able to accomplish that very safely and very quickly, Lord. It's just a gift to Richard from the love of Jesus. Lord, I just pray your special anointing to be upon Kevin Spencer as he travels this country and he sings and shares the gospel, Lord, and just prepare him to serve us, prepare us to receive, and Lord, just we give you, Lord, Saturday evening, Lord, and I pray and thank you again for the babies, Lord, an opportunity to just dedicate them to you next Sunday, and Lord, once again, thank you for our fathers, and thank you for the opportunity to open your word, Lord, we love you, our Heavenly Father, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray, amen, amen. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, and if you are physically able, stand with me all over his house to read Matthew 6, 5, we have the words of Jesus here. It says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Dear Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your words. I thank you, Lord, just for the power, the privilege, Lord, the placement of your words here in the Bible, Lord, your holy word. I thank you, Lord, for how many times you mention our Father, the Father, Lord, how you distinguish in this passage a Father who is perfect and a Father that we can pray to and a Father that loves us and a Father that we've been praising and singing all morning to. And we just want to know more about you, Father, and we want to be more like you, Father, and just help us this morning as we come before you very humbly. And it's, Lord, in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. As you look there in verse 5, I find it very interesting as Jesus talking about guiding us in praying, and he mentions that he wants us not to be like the hypocrites. He doesn't want us praying like the hypocrites, and goes on to say that when a hypocrite's praying, they really want you to hear them and draw attention to them. And I've probably been a hypocrite before, Brother Marty, when I prayed. I think we all have. And I've heard some hypocrites pray, and it's all about them, often not about Jesus Christ. I find an interesting thing about that term hypocrite. I find it often when I'm visiting. I'll be visiting, and I'll be out, and I'm inviting people to church, and I've been here almost 20 years now, we'll be this year, and I found from the very beginning, early on, that whenever you are talking to someone about church, so year one, same thing in year 20, I'll invite somebody to church, and they'll say, I am not going down there because of all those hypocrites at Hamlet's Crossroads Baptist Church. And I learned a long time ago the best way to respond to that. So ever from the very first time I've heard it until this day, when somebody says that, I'll say, I understand completely. I'm Miss Linda, one of those hypocrites down at Hamlet's Crossroads. Because to make that statement just shows a lack of relationship with God, a lack of understanding about church, because we all do hypocritical things. In any given week, our thinking, our words, our actions can be somewhat opposed to God's word. So we all fall in that category. And God is explaining to us this passage about praying, though, that more importantly, it's not about the action of a hypocrite, but it's about the attention. Who is the attention on this passage? And the attention is on our Father. When you find yourself, as he gets down to verse 9 and talking about after this manner, therefore pray. I think we mentioned this Wednesday night. This is often called the Lord's Prayer. Amen? But it's not actually the Lord's Prayer. A better name would be the disciples' prayer, because in this passage, he's trying to teach the disciples about how to pray. But the thing that really jumps off in those verses we read from verse 5 all the way down through verse 15, if you would, is the idea of the word Father. And we see different descriptions of it. It has the word thy Father in it. It has your Father in it. It mentions our Father in it. It goes all through that, but it continues to jump off the page about Father. And then when you get down to verse 9 and says, after this manner, therefore pray our Father, that idea of our Father is much different from the general term of Father. Now, I think of Father, I think of my earthly father, who I miss greatly. He's been for several years now in heaven. That word Father has different meanings to me that I think about my Father. And for all of us in here, that Father term can bring about many different emotions. Amen? Some of you are like me. You've had a father, and they now that they're in heaven, and we'll see them one day through Jesus Christ, and we miss our Father. For some of you, that word Father, you'd be honest, you'd have to say, is I have never seen the man. Never known him. Never known. So Father, for you, Father is going to have a whole different set of feelings and emotions and meanings. Some of you would testify, maybe, that you had a father who was one time in your life that he did not know the Lord, he did not know Jesus Christ, did not walk with Jesus Christ, and those were very challenging and difficult times. But then you have a testimony, and you can say, but there was that time when they received Christ, they became not only a new man, but they became a new father, and how things have gone from there. Others of you could say that my father is still lost. For some of you, your father is on my prayer list. We're praying for your father's salvation and wanting your father to receive Christ before it's everlasting too late. Some of you have had an abusive father. So father, the term father, brings so many memories to us and has so many different definitions, has so many understandings. And some of you might say, I had the greatest father in the world. And some of you, be honest, say, don't worry, would stamp set, but I think I had one of the worst fathers in the world. So father, as a term, can mean so many different things and bring back so many emotions, so many memories. But this morning, we want to focus on those two simple words, because hear what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about something unique, something very special. He's talking about our Father. He's talking about the context of when Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he has called his disciples unto him. The message is to his disciples, to his followers, to the ones who know him, to the ones who the Heavenly Father truly is their Father. And our Father in heaven is much different from God, who the general public and people in our world think of that well, God's this great big God, and yes, y'all call him Father. No, the term here in the Bible in verse 9 is our Father. So our Father is the one who we receive through Jesus Christ. Our Father is the one who created this whole world that we see. Within 6 days, everything that you'll ever see and know, he either made what you see, or what's been made since then has come from something that he created in that time. Now that's our Father, amen? Our Father is the one who loved us so that he sent Jesus Christ, his only Son. As imagining you as a father, or thinking about your father, as a father who sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, that whosoever might believe on him and accept him and receive him and follow him, that we might have everlasting life. That's our Father. Our Father is the one that maybe early in the morning or late last night, or at some point you remember this week, that you were praying to our Father, and our Father in heaven heard, and he reminded you that he never leaves you and he never forsakes you. He never has. He never will. All of us are earthly fathers, and all of our earthly fathers have had sin in our lives, and we made mistakes, and we've done things wrong, but our Father in heaven is that perfect Father. And there's not a word really, I believe, in the English language that can describe clearly what our Father means. Oh, if I began right down here with Ray and went down the aisle toward Brother Leonard, went toward the back and all of it, what could every one of us begin to testify about our Father? See, there needs to be more attention about our Father. What I need as a father is I need more attention, and I need more focus, and I need more time with our Father. Amen? Our Father. And we find in just these first few verses here, these fruit that we read beginning in verse 9, we find some really unique things that jump out. And the three things that jumped out at me as I was looking at this passage was this. We find just beginning in verse 9, and then just as we go into verse 10, those two little sections, those two verses there, we find first of all in verse 9 and 10 that we have his home and we have his name. After we have his home and his name, we go into verse 10, we have his kingdom. So let's think for a moment about his home. What is it telling us about his home in verse 9 here? In verse 9, it talks about our Father's home. It says, our Father which art in heaven. The home of our Father is there in heaven. I began to pray and say, well, God, what is it like there at home? I think about our Father. I think about the home I grew up in. Think about the home you grew up in. But how about our Father? How about our Heavenly Father? How about that home in heaven? What's it like? He quickly took me. Go with me to Revelation chapter 4. Go with me, let's just let the Bible, let's let our Father in his own words give us a glimpse, kind of pull back, if you would, the veil, and let us see a little bit. What's it like at his home? What's his home like? Where's our Father live at? What are things like there? In Revelation chapter 4, I love how verse 1 begins to break it down as John is seeing here. Look in Revelation 4:1, the Bible says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Oh, opened into the home of God, opened into the home of our Father. And he said, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me. So that's what's the thing about our Father. He likes to talk to us, amen. Whole passage I read is about praying. And praying, listen, praying is much more than you just lifting up and talking words at him. Prayer is communicating with him and letting him, slowing down and keeping our mouths a little quieter and stop saying our words and let him begin to speak to us. He heard, he hears, and he wants to talk with us. And the word came here in John in verse 1. It says, come up hither, and I will show these things which must be hereafter. It says, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting. They were clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. Third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. Now look here in verse 8. It says, and they rest not day and night. They rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I'm telling you, folks, we ought to get a hallelujah right there. That ought to make somebody almost when we get up start running around the church and crying out, holy, holy, holy. Because we've learned here in this passage, Jesus is saying, we've got a Father. He's our Father. He's the perfect Father. And he's got a home. That home's in heaven. And these descriptions in the Bible of that home are descriptions of what it is like, not only in the home of our Father, but what it's like in the heart and the home of any Christian who our Father has moved in through Jesus, our Son. And this, our Father, comes to live inside of us, Abby, and when he moves inside of us, his home becomes us. And he's saying here in this passage, he wants his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And a picture that he wants. So listen, that when our Father moves inside through Jesus Christ, this is how it should be. Now some of you are saying, whoa, hold on, preacher. That might be good when I get to heaven, but you don't know how it was in the house this morning when we got up and tried to get the kids ready and get out the door to church. This sounds good, and I really would like our Father, preacher, if you say it's possible, to put this kind of environment in my heart, in my life, in my soul, so I can have it, but you don't know how it is during the week, just to make it through the week, amen? But folks, I'm telling you what, when Jesus Christ moves in, when our Father moves in your heart through Jesus Christ, when he sets up home, I'm telling you, there's going to be more holy, holy, holy crying out of us, amen? There's going to be more holy, holy, holy thinking in our minds. There's going to be more holy, holy words coming out of our mouths. There's going to be more holy, holy things going on inside the house. It says there, and the cry is, Lord God Almighty. I'm telling you what, that is the need of every father and every mother and every child under the sound of my voice, that we need to just moment by moment, every time we get ready to think and we get ready to speak and we get ready to do anything, that we say, Lord, Lord Almighty. You might be feeling weak right now. You might say, but I tell you, this week and this month, this year's wiped me out. I'm feeling weak and I'm feeling needy. And there's nothing more than you need to understand that our Father is the Lord Almighty, who has all the power and has everything that we need. Go with me to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, the Bible is closing out. If we had there the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, and we get a glimpse once again of our Father's home. In Revelation 21:1, it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city of New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He's living inside of you. And he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne, that's our Father, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. For I got up here to preach. I was coming to preach the word of life, and it's here available freely. I need to go over and get a bottle of physical water because I had a thirst. Amen. I had a physical thirst that's been driving me crazy all morning. I began to think about this very passage and say, what our Father does, every one of us has a thirst for the Father. And every one of us are having that thirst for the Father either met or not met in some form or fashion. Amen. For somebody here today, you are dying of thirst. And by that I mean spiritually, you do not know Jesus Christ. He is not your Father. You don't know him through the Son. You may be a good person. You may be a great person. You may be a hard worker. You may be a good father or mother. But you just, spiritually, you're dying of thirst. And there's this empty hole in your heart. And there's this thirst in your life. And you know what? You begin, the Spirit of God is impressing and knocking on your heart's door right now, saying, there's just something that I'm thirsty for, something that nothing has satisfied the taste, nothing physically, nothing I've tried. And that thirst is for this living Word of Jesus. Jesus is saying, listen, at home in heaven, all these descriptions of heaven, when I move in, it's not going to be the perfection. There'll still be tears, there'll still be pain, there'll still be death. But what he's saying is, I'm going to come to you in a way that I'm going to meet supernaturally, spiritually, every need that you have in your life. And sometimes the greatest need is this, y'all. It's not what we think we need. Amen. Some of you are thinking, I'm telling you, I just wish physically, if God could help me with this physical pain or problem I've got, man, I'd just be ready to serve him. I'd be ready to take off. Some of you are saying, financially, I mean, if God just in some way could just take care of this financial mess I find myself in, it may be of your own doing and you testify that, or it may be a consequence of something you have no control over. He said, if I could just get this burden financially off of me, then I'd be ready to experience this Almighty God. Some of you get some emotional trouble. I mean, you're just so torn up inside and you just can't seem to find the help you need. Folks, the living water is this. When the living water comes to you, our Father in heaven, through the Holy Spirit, will bring down to you. And really, basically, what he always says, I'll give you peace. You'll feel my presence. And I'll never leave you or forsake you, no matter what happens. That's our Father. Question this morning is he your Father? Because for somebody here this morning, just be honest, just forget me, forget church, forget why you came, and simply think, is he your Father? So I'm telling you, some of these feelings of holiness and how mighty he is, some of this overwhelming as the elders fell down there in that description. I'm telling you, if you just never have the desire to fall down on your knees, and I'm not talking about just an altar in church, but you just never have this desire that you just want to fall down there somewhere in your house alone or out under the tree or somewhere you're riding down the road and you're just overwhelmed and humbled by the fact that there is a mighty God and you're aware of your sin and that he's forgiven you of that sin and what he wants you. If you never had these desires, the question may be that he's not your Father. Is he your Father? But secondly, some of you would answer that question and say, yes, he is my Father. You remember that time you received Christ. You remember what he's done. You know what he can do. But you also are thinking about the real question is, are you living for your Father? Y'all realize one day we're going to get to heaven. We're going to experience all of this. And for all eternity, forever, this is going to be the picture of our life. And Jesus says, pray that my will be done, my plans, my ways, what I want done. I want it to be done on earth. By the way, we still here, y'all. He says, you pray to your Father in heaven that it be done here, exactly like it is in heaven. That's what he says, pray. Somebody asked a question, how many of you know him as your father? But you have to be honest, and that is not your prayer right now. You not, because I promise you, if you pray that prayer, he'll begin to answer pieces of that prayer. He'll begin to take things out of your life that don't need to be in your life. He'll begin to put things in your life that you really don't want in your life. Where are you at with the Father this morning? Would you bow with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? Our Father. Isn't it wonderful to think this morning that our Father knows right now the condition of every one of us, what we're thinking? He knows our sin. He knows our hurts. He knows our pains. He knows our secret joys. He knows the joy of a father with a child of any age. But our Father right now knows who his children is. Are you his child? I'm telling you, there's nothing greater. It doesn't matter how great your earthly father is or how terrible he was or continues to be. But your Father, there is a Father in heaven that wants to be your Father. And in a moment, we're going to begin to sing a song. We've called it a hymn of invitation. The invitation is that you might come and receive Christ, that he might be your Father. Think about that for a moment. Your Father. And all of a sudden, all the promises of the world are available to you. Your life's going to change forever. And some of you know right now that's what you need. How about you, Christian? Where do you stand right now with our Father? A guilty distance, unrepented sin, too busy with all the world. Christian, let me ask the question. Have you been praying this week that things would be in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your home, at your work, that they would be like they are in heaven? You know, that's impossible for us alone. But the Bible says, with our Father, all things are possible. What would happen if we prayed that prayer this morning, fathers, mothers, grandparents, children? What if we begin to pray that prayer believing that that's possible? What would happen? I think what would happen is for a change, instead of what we see happening and what we can't control, then what would begin to happen is it's what he wants to happen. Lord, we're praying, Lord, that we would desire for your will to be done here in our lives, in our homes, in our church, as it is in heaven. And believing that that's possible. And believing there's a power and there's a presence that we've not experienced yet at the level you want us to. If you need Jesus, I pray you'll come. In John 14, as Thomas asked and was confused about how to be reunited with the Father in heaven, and to go be with Jesus one day, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you die this week, natural causes. You die this week in an accident. If he's not your Father, you're not going to hell. I mean, you're not going to heaven. The Bible says you'll go to hell. And that's the truth that a loving Father wants you to know. And Christian, maybe you just need to come to the altar in this invitation and begin to pray that prayer that he guided you to pray and see how that might change your life. and we might be transformed instead of conformed. Lord, we give you this invitation, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Deborah, okay, would you lead us?
As we stand, turn to page 596.